Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Soapbox Prince podcast. I am your host, Daryl, and boy, has it been a hell of a last 2 months for me. Personally, I've been trying to stay busy so that I'm not falling into my anxiety and my stress. But overall, I've been great. I hope you all have been wonderful. I hope you've been enjoying the tail ends of your summer and heading into fall. It is getting colder. Please make sure that you head out and you get your flu shots. A lot of people are going to be getting sick. There's a lot of illnesses and sicknesses going around in the community. So I think it's important to be proactive about that. I'm going to get mine next week so that I'm not getting sick and I'm out of work or anything like that. But let's head over to our latest headlines for today. And now to our latest headlines. White House orders former aides to defy subpoenas in first impeachment investigation hearing. The White House on Monday asserted immunity for two former staffers called to testify before a House Judiciary Committee panel that is considering whether to recommend that Donald Trump be impeached. Essentially, this is only proving to me that they are going to do whatever they can to keep this man in office. I personally don't see an impeachment, and I'm not even going to really go over the entire headline, honestly. As much as I want all of this to happen, I have a feeling that we will have four more years of Trump, but I'm hopeful that things will change. Alex Trebek undergoes additional surgery for chemotherapy. Television legend and Jeopardy host Alex Trebek is undergoing more chemotherapy. He made the announcement during an interview that aired on Tuesday's Good Morning America. The decision came after doctors said he lost a lot of weight and his number skyrocketed after he finished his first round of chemotherapy. So I am wishing him the best, and he's always kind of been a cornerstone for gaming television. With Jeopardy, I grew up watching him. My parents grew up watching him, and I do wish him the best through his chemotherapy. He was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer earlier this year, which is obviously a traumatic thing to find out. So I do wish him the best on that. And I know a lot of my friends have had relatives or even themselves have suffered with cancer or currently are living with cancer. So the fight is very, very, very important. Your attitude is very, very important. And having a good circle of people around you, supportive circle of people. A 10-year-old Texas girl dies after contracting a brain-eating amoeba from river, family says. A Texas girl has died after family members said she contracted a brain-eating amoeba from a river near her Whitney home earlier this month. According to WFAA-TV, Lily Mae Avant 10 died early this morning in Fort Worth. Our beautiful girl is completely healed and in the arms of Jesus, her cousin Wendy Scott wrote in a Facebook post. I just want to say that a lot of people who are bringing, or not even just people, but a lot of parents who are bringing their children and also like their dogs around water, they really need to be careful. We have a lot going on in Massachusetts right now with Triple E. It's very important to be proactive. It's very important to pay attention to what your children are doing. Of course, we can't avoid everything, and this is a tragic situation, and I'm not taking that away from anything. But I also know that some of the dogs that I've read about have gone to rivers and have died from things that they have eaten or things that they have come into contact with. Also, there's mosquitoes right now biting people, and a lot of folks are not going around wearing bug spray. And it's just sometimes there's little things you can do to be proactive and keep yourself and your family safe. It's a very, very unfortunate situation because, you know, like I said, in life, there are some things that are completely avoidable, non-avoidable, I should say. But it's always good to be in the best position when these things happen, if we can. This story actually particularly hit close to home and was very personal. And this one's actually out of Massachusetts. Tewksbury man charged in girlfriend's death days after she bailed him out of jail. So basically what happened was a woman had an abusive boyfriend and he was in jail on drug charges. And she recently bailed him out of jail for whatever reason, doesn't matter. And she was found dead. He basically murdered her, choked her to death. And I think when these things happen, a lot of people get into the mentality where it's like, well, why did you bail him out of jail? Well, why did you do this and why did you do that? I don't like victim blaming at all. Because we have all been in relationships with toxic people before. Even if you haven't been with a toxic person, we've all had problems in our relationships and we've all done things for people that we loved that we probably shouldn't have done. So I think that you shouldn't judge her situation because she bailed him out of jail. At the end of the day, he had no reason to kill her. There was no reason that she had to lose her life. Jennifer's boyfriend, Eric Griffin, has been arrested and charged with domestic assault and battery. Although I'm sure they will upgrade the charges to murder once everything comes out in the case. Authorities say when they found Jennifer Kalicki after 8 a.m. Sunday, she was already dead. They could see trauma on her face, neck, and extremities. On Saturday morning, 24 hours before Kalicki was found, authorities say she sent disturbing texts to Eric Griffin's sister. So she texted her boyfriend's sister, he's ripped the door open, choked me, slammed me to the ground. The text message is read, please help me, he's losing it, I just need help. I'm tired of him making me the victim. During those text messages, the victim was begging defendant's sister for help, prosecutor Susan Wiseman said in court. She also indicated in those text messages that the defendant slammed her on the ground and the defendant had strangled her. And that's actually how she was found dead. Domestic violence is rampant and it's a very, very huge issue in this country and across the world. And I think it's important to understand that, like, if you need to get help, get help. If you need to reach out to someone, reach out to someone. I understand a lot of people in those situations are scared. A lot of those people in those situations feel trapped. They feel like they want to help the person that they loved and they've been with, but they also feel like, you know, they want to escape it. They want to get out of it. And so I feel for her. I feel for her family, and it's unfortunate. Very, very, very sad case. Definitely. And now to our question of the day. And just a little back information. When I choose these questions, I try to go with controversial topics because I feel that we all have different perspectives and we all have different reasonings for why we feel a certain way about situations depending on our own personal experiences with our friends and our family. And I don't feel that one person's opinion or take is the measuring stick of how everyone else should feel. But I noticed that a lot of people share the same sentiments. A lot of people don't agree with the sentiments, or you find that there are a few that, you know, have a different feeling on it. So let's go to the question of the day. The question of the day is, what would you do if your best friend was cheating on their partner and you were good friends with who they were dating? Would you tell them, or would you stay out of the situation to save the friendship? Now, when I asked this question on my Facebook, I got a lot of strong opinions about people not wanting to support their friends being a cheater, which I feel is 110% valid. And I feel that a majority share that sentiment. However, I also got the side of people who said that they didn't want to interject themselves into the relationship because it gets messy and now you are creating stress for yourself. Now, it does depend on the relationship you have with their partner. A lot of the people who felt strongly about not letting their friends be cheaters, it didn't matter to them whether or not they had a good relationship with their partner. They didn't want their partner, they didn't want their friend to be doing anything stupid. And honestly, a lot of them put themselves in the perspective of the person being cheated on. Now, for me, I share both sentiments. If I was close to a friend and they were cheating on someone that they allowed into my life and that I grew close to, I would not be okay with it. However, I have learned to not get myself involved in relationships because it gets messy. There's a lot of drama. There's a lot of unnecessary stress that I don't need for myself. And I always felt that I could cut ties with that person. Excuse me. I could cut ties with that person on my own accord for a completely different reasoning. If I feel that you are engaging in behavior that doesn't match, you know, what is going to make our friendship strong, then over time, I don't feel us being strong friends. So I would much rather end the friendship on the premise of something having to do with the friendship rather than because I got myself involved in your relationship. Now back to the point of if you were cheated on, you would want someone to tell you. And so I did mention that to someone who did use the argument, well, I don't want to get involved. I think it's messy meddling with other people's affairs, which I do agree with. So I think it's more beyond whether or not you have a strong relationship with their partner and whether or not you want to bring that sort of drama and stress upon yourself. And I do think it's interesting because to me, there is no real right answer. I do think that the right answer, if there ever was one, is of course, we're not going to let our friends do stupid things. And of course, we're not going to be okay with our friends cheating because we wouldn't want to be cheated on. But I don't think that there's anything wrong with people who don't get themselves involved. And not because they don't care, but because they feel that, and this is another take, if a person is being cheated on, there were signs of that previous to this, and that the person has to find out on their own. The reason why I say this is someone said to me, well, when you tell a friend that their partner is cheating on them, they could hit you with, no, my partner would never do that. He loves me or she loves me or blah, 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 blah. That in and of itself creates drama. And then when they actually find out what's going on, then that creates even more. So I do think it's interesting because, you know, maybe some people don't want to get themselves involved in that. And maybe they would rather, you know, handle it in a different way and maybe wait until it's all said and done and say to their friend, hey, I really don't appreciate that you were cheating on this person and that you let this person in my life and you let this person be personal to me. And going forward, if you do have any other relationships while we're friends, I would appreciate that you didn't do that because I would want you to tell me if someone was cheating on me. So very, very interesting question. Like I said, I don't pick questions that have easy yes or no's because I don't think that creates any level of entertainment. I don't think that creates any level of important discourse. I feel like it's good to talk about these type of things. And going forward with the relationships we have with our friends, we have to learn how to handle situations without jumping the gun or without getting ourselves involved in drama that we really don't need in our lives. We all have stress. We all have anxiety. We all have things we need to take care of. So interesting enough, you know, I want to know how you guys feel about it. Again, the question was, what would you do if your best friend was cheating on their partner and you were good friends with who they were dating? Would you tell them or would you stay out of the situation? And that concludes the question of the day on the Soapbox Prince. And now it's time for 5 fast facts. But I'm going to switch the rules up a bit here on this episode of the Soapbox Prince podcast and make it 9 fast facts, and not necessarily facts, but according to the FBI's data. And this is going to be the serial killer version. So let's get into it. What makes serial killers tick? What are their motives? We've listed the 9 facts about serial killers according to FBI.gov. Number 1, there is no generic profile of a serial killer. Serial killers differ in many ways, including their motivations for killing and their behavior at the crime scene. Number 2, serial killers are not limited to any specific demographic group, such as sex, age, race, or religion. However, I would make the strong argument that a majority of serial killers are white males. That is not to say that serial killers can't be of other races, genders, ethnicities, blah, 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 blah. But I do feel that the statistics point more towards white men. Number 3, most serial killers are not reclusive, social misfits who live alone. They might not appear strange. Many serial killers hide in plain sight within their communities. Serial murderers often have families and homes, are gainfully employed, and appear to be normal members of the community. Like the BTK killer, I'm pretty sure he was a police officer. had a family, had children, seemed like a normal guy. BTK was the bind them, torture them, kill them. He killed some people in some state, I can't remember. Number four, all serial murders are not sexually based. There are many other motivations for serial murderers, including anger, thrill, financial gain, and attention seeking. This is a huge misconception. A lot of people feel that serial murderers usually are sexually based or that they rape their victims. A lot of them do it for a plethora of other reasons. Number five, regardless of the motive, serial murderers commit their crimes because they want to. The exception to this would be those few killers suffering from a severe mental illness. I feel like when people kill, especially more than one person, we always automatically jump to, well, they have a mental illness. Well, that's not necessarily true. A lot of people know what they're doing. They just can't stop themselves. Number six, very few serial murderers travel interstate to kill. Most serial killers have very defined geographic areas of operation. However, serial murderers will, at times, spiral the activities outside of their comfort zone. This is important because you generally kill where you're most comfortable. That's how they found the DC sniper. There are serial killers who do go outside of the state, and that's generally after a long period of time so that they're not caught. However, it's perfectly reasonable that you're going to kill where you're most comfortable so that you know where to hide. If you don't know where to hide, that makes you more vulnerable to getting caught. At least that's my feeling. Number seven, it has been widely believed that once serial killers start killing, they cannot stop. There are, however, some serial killers who stop murdering altogether before being caught. Number eight, as a group, serial killers suffer from a variety of personality disorders, including psychopathy, antisocial personality, and others. Most, however, are not adjudicated as insane under the law. It goes back to what I was saying before. They're not just mentally ill because they killed more than one person. That is just our rhetoric now, is to just use mental illness for everything. There are a lot of mentally ill people who are perfectly functioning in society, have no reason or want to kill anyone. And I feel like it's disrespectful to the cause to assume that every serial murderer is mentally ill. There are some that are, but not all of them are. Number nine, it is not that serial killers want to get caught. They feel that they cannot get caught. As serial killers continue to offend without being captured, they can become empowered, feeling that they will never be identified. As the series continues, the killers may begin to take shortcuts when committing their crimes. This often causes the killers to take more chances, leading to identification by law enforcement. A lot of people are like, well, they're stupid. They're stupid. They just want to get caught. They're not just stupid, because it's obviously stupid to kill someone. They're very, very cocky. Once you kill one, two, or three, you start to get lazy. You start to think, oh, well, I'm untouchable. No one is going to catch me. And again, no one can commit the perfect crime. You always leave something, a fingernail, you leave your hair, you leave something at the scene of the crime. You do something wrong that gets you caught. And it's not because they're stupid. It's because they feel that they're confident in their killings and they want to continue doing it. So that concludes nine fast facts on this episode of the Soapbox Prince podcast. The last segment on the Soapbox Prince is always the final statement. Today's final statement is all about precaution. Precaution to protect ourselves from certain situations, precaution to protect ourselves from certain people, and precaution to protect ourselves from certain illnesses and sicknesses. Of course, in life, we will never avoid everything across the board. But I think it's important to understand that we shouldn't get in the mentality that others should follow the rules or should follow the laws, because we know that that isn't the case. There are actions that we can take within ourselves to put us in the best position to deal with these situations. I appreciate you guys tuning into my podcast, The Soapbox Prince. And if you love the content here, make sure to follow me wherever podcasts are played. I'm on Apple Music, iTunes, and also Spotify. Once again, I appreciate you all tuning in. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. And until next episode, I will see you later. Take care.